This is Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk, and I'm here with Vice Commodore of the Pacific Interclub Yachting Association, Patty Mangan, and we are talking about the tradition of blessing the fleet that is practiced all over the world, not just by fishermen, but by yachting communities. Patty, you just attended a blessing of the fleet ceremony in your capacity as leader in the yachting community, and this isn't your first time.
This was my third year, and this was the 34th annual event held at St. Luke's Presbyterian in San Rafael.
And so this blessing of the fleet tradition is practiced in the opening of the season for fishermen, but also for sail sport and for the cruisers all around the world. In this particular area, you had people gathering from all over this community to meet together. What was that experience like for you?
It's very humbling and uplifting to be in this beautiful church and to be focused on the beginning of the season and to be thinking about the well-being of our fellow sailors and fishermen and to be thinking about this being part of a worldwide tradition that goes back many, many hundreds of years. It's being a part of the community. It's being a part of a tradition. It's being part of group spirit.
Well, and actually, the blessing of the fleet goes back to the Phoenicians 3,000 years ago, as I understand it. And it started when people aboard fishing fleets would make an offering at the water's edge and ask for protection from the choppy waters and mythical beasts. And I think in Washington, D.C. every year, the fountains of the U.S. Navy Memorial are annually salted with water from the seven seas as part of nautical ritual. You have a tradition with the opening day on the bay with a blessing of the fleet. Tell us about that.
Yes, every April when the season opens on the San Francisco Bay, there is a vintage water craft that there is a rabbi, there is a priest, and they do a blessing of all the boats that go by. So you actually, before you go get in the opening day parade, you go by and you get your boat blessed, and it's really great fun.
Well, I remember when we were doing a cannon battle with the Lady Washington and the Hawaiian Chieftain. It's right out there in Richardson Bay by the Sausalito Yacht Club, and we went by for the blessing of the fleet, and there's someone with a megaphone doing this, so the boats are all coming by, and you have this old-fashioned megaphone.
Right. It's all very hilarious as well as serious. I mean, I've been by in small craft in a sailboat. I've been by in a big, huge kind of cruise-like boat, and everyone is loving it. It's just it's being a part of something, a part of a tradition.
Well, and usually the committee boat has a Coast Guard captain or a rear admiral or someone from those who protect us on the waters.
Right.
Basically, yes, and there's a great relationship between the Coast Guard and the yachting community helping to drive down accidental deaths with that kind of friendship and camaraderie, but also sharing information.
Right, and training and opportunities to learn.
Well, thank you, Patty, so much for coming and sharing with us that information about the blessing of the fleet. This is Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk.
Thank you very much. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast and around the world on American Forces Radio Network and on Twitch.tv. You might recognize, of course, Karen Lyle. How are you doing, Karen?
I'm doing great. How are you, Crick?
Call me Crick, Rick, whatever
Crick.
It is. Walnut Crick. Christopher
Kane
joins us once again. And Christopher, thank you so much for coming in today.
My pleasure, Crick.
And
I didn't know where that C got in there, but it did.
That's all right.
We're going to run with it now.
Yeah. Anyway, Cliss, let's talk a little bit about SailGP. It's going to be down in what happened already in Sydney and Great Britain over Australia. Or is it more we talk about the skippers, or is it more national?
Well, we talk about the skippers, but we all have our favorite sailors on the boats themselves. So Nathan Notridge, who's is a well-known sailor, and he's on the Japanese boat now doing very well. Phil Robertson, who's now skippering the Spanish boat. But I think it's a lot like other sports where you have certain sailors you follow around the teams, and come trade deadline, you're wondering who's going to be there. But it was some interesting action down. I remember the next SailGP is going to be in May here in San Francisco. So this was kind of like a preview for all of us to check out the boats, see where the teams were, and kind of figure out what the circus is coming into town.
Well, and every race is different because of the wind speed. You have different foils that you use on the F-50s for the high speed and the low speed. And you know, we didn't know if Tom Slingsby was going to take it home or it was going to be Ben Easley, but everybody was talking about Ben, and they had good reason for that. What Christopher, you've sailed on these boats, on the U.S. boat for the America's
Cup. The 72s and the 45s.
Right, the 72s and the 45s, not the F-50s, but what are some of the issues, do you think, between the different wind speeds as to how that played in this particular race that we did in Sydney, or races that we did in Sydney?
Yeah, it was a tale of two days, wasn't it? So the first day, it was honking pretty good. And when that happens, you actually swap out the foils that are underneath the boat that lift it up. When the boat is going slower, like an airplane wing, you need a longer, fatter wing to get that boat out of the water when there's not as much water flowing over it. When it's blowing and you don't need as much surface, you go with a smaller, thinner foil. So this is the first time we saw them on the high-speed foils. I think it's part of why you saw Tom Slingsby kind of fighting the boat a bit on the first day, and then he pulled it together the second day. I think it was just welcome to the high-speed foils. And they make the boats a little twitchier because there's not as much surface under the water. And when you have a boat that doesn't like to put its bow in the water like these catamarans, when you're lifted higher out of the water with the low-speed foils, you've got a little higher margin for error. I think you saw that on Saturday. You saw a lot of boats touching their bows to the surface because there just wasn't as much clearance between the bottom of the hull and the boat.
I didn't know those foils were interchangeable, actually.
Yeah.
And it's funny, from doing this show as many times as I had, every once in a while we'll get someone in here who's maybe in the generation ahead of ours. And when we talk about sail GP and flying on those foils, they don't openly say that's not really sailing. But I kind of see a little, eh. Do you get kind of a pushback on that?
It's funny because I kind of am the generation ahead, and I actually love these catamarans. I think for what they do and for the event they're in, I think it's a perfect combination of event and boat. As we talked before on a previous show, the America's Cup is really designed to be the innovation hub of sailing. The F-50s are just a fun way to go out and have a NASCAR-like racing experience on the water, and I think they accomplish that perfectly.
Rick, we're on show number 49, I believe. Mm-hmm. So it's been 49 weeks for us. In the first show, we interviewed Rome Kirby and Matt Ignacy of the USA Sail GP team. And I, you remember, mm-hmm. that was our first sailors to sign the wall, the celebrity wall here.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so they were in this race in Sydney. And what
Uh-oh.
Is... Huh? Yes, yes. So let's talk a little bit about the USA team, because they're not winning the races yet, but they're
not.
What are your opinions about this?
They had a rough go down in Sydney.
Were you down there?
I was not.
Okay.
But they have a fabulous app for SailGP, which what I like about it is you can actually pick the boat that you want to follow, and along with the video, you actually get all the data coming off that boat, which is very cool.
That's
so if
neat,
you see a boat that's all of a sudden going really fast, you can switch over to that boat and go, what's going on? Are they on a different angle?
How interesting.
Are they in different wind?
They don't feel like they're giving away their secrets? Are they?
No, it's really awesome. I think they took a page from esports, you know, where you can kind of jump onto different players when they're going ham in a League of Legends match, and you can do the same thing now in sailing, which I think is great. But, yeah, the Americans had a rough go, especially Saturday. Saturday, there were some things that just, kind of, for me, who's been in races, concerned me in terms of just a general question about confidence on the team. The second race, they were actually in second place coming around the first gate right behind Great Britain, and they almost immediately tacked and bailed out. Now, I've been in a lot of races. If you're the second place boat and you're in the hip pocket of the first base boat, you try and put some pressure on them. You try and get them looking back. If they're looking back behind the wheel and looking back at you, that means you're in their head, and it becomes a drag race. And what it told me is they did not believe they had the boat speed to drag race with. So that was bad. This third race was really sad because they actually came around the first mark in first place, immediately sailed into a hole, which points to a lack of awareness around them. Also tragic because the Danish boat was in the hole at the time and was dead in the water. So it should have been pretty easy to pick up where the hole was. And then that mark rounding obviously got into their head because there was a lot of confusion on that boat going into the top mark.
So our captains are cowards and stupid.
No, they're not cowards and stupid. It's just, sailing, when you're in a boat going 40 miles an hour on foils, things happen very quickly.
Right. I'm just kidding. Yeah. And by the way, you know, it's funny. You were mentioning these different boats. We had Paul Kayard in here, mm-hmm. and he's now going into the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame. And I asked him about, because in the America's Cup, you say, here's team whatever, and there's a Kiwi at the helm of, like, each one. And he said that was tough for him because he's a celebrity in Italy, and he skippered the Italian boat, and yep. he said it hurt when he had to race against the United States. So it's interesting how we yeah. say countries, but it's not like the World Cup or the Olympics.
It isn't because, you know, but the World Cup and the Olympics are a little different. You know, it's like saying I'm not going to root for the San Francisco Giants because they're not all from San Francisco.
Right.
You know, it's the reality is, you know, the second Pablo Sandoval puts on a Giants uniform, I don't care where he was born, he represents San Francisco.
Right.
And I think, you know, as soon as people start thinking about it that way, that it's...
That's club versus country, though. Yeah, we're with Christopher Kane, by the way. Yeah, go ahead.
Right, and the CLGP race is something that they are... It's designed that each of these teams will have nationals on the team, you know, on the boat for the team, but because some of these teams are new, they're bringing in other skippers from other teams.
Is
like
there a minimum for homegrown sailors?
I think the rules have to do with how many sailors there are who can sail these type of foiling catamarans in that country, because these are brand new. And so,
yeah.
for example, when China was in last year, you know, they didn't have any sailors who could skipper and handle the
lead
roles.
Did they have any Chinese? Huh?
Well, yes, they did. They okay. had the grinders were Chinese. Okay. And China dropped out after the first season, but that was more not being able to comply with some of CLGP's requirements for going forward. So that's when we gained Spain mm-hmm. in the same place.
Yeah. And looked very good down there as a
yes?
new team. Spain was looking. And they had some really good boat speed. Their tactics were consistent. And the tactics were great because this course, for those who don't know San Francisco Bay, we have this island in the middle of San Francisco Bay called Alcatraz. And when you are sailing and doing races, there's always this battle on what side of Alcatraz do you go on. And there's also, you know, there's a tide cone that comes off Alcatraz, depending on which way it's going. There's a wind cone that comes off Alcatraz. Mm-hmm.
And there's a lull cone up in Santa Rosa.
Ba-dum-bum. Yeah. And there was an island in the middle of this race course in Sydney. And so when I tuned in to watch, I'm like, huh, that looks familiar.
Well, and I like the USA team, and I really want to see them do well. And they're coming to San Francisco, and this is going to be the home court for them.
Are they going to use the old America's Cup pier over there?
Well, it's going to be the same place that it was, where the spectator stand will be between the Golden Gate Yacht Club and the St. Francis Yacht Club, and you know, people lining the shores
yeah.
and all of that. And I guess it's May 2nd and 3rd that we're going to have the races here. And, you know, it will be something that USA is going to want to do well here.
Sure.
In San Francisco Bay, we're going to hope that they do well. But the competition is fun.
Well, let me
you
ask
know,
this
you
question:
get all of these people in here who have such talent
as a neophyte? Because someone told me once that in ping pong, there's actually no rule to how big a ping pong paddle could be. You could actually have something the size of a ping pong table if you wanted. So, what is the rule for these foils? I mean, does somebody come in and say, "Oh, that's not fair"? Because, like with NASCAR restrictor plates, they have everything yep. down to the centimeter.
Exactly, and I think it's what's called a box rule, which is, you know, the platform itself, or what we used to call a hull, but now we're all high tech, so we call it a platform. Mm. The platform's fixed. And the wing, there are some modifications. They're going to a new wing, semi-solid wing in San Francisco, and that'll probably increase the boat speeds, which will be even more fun. But the foils are really the secret weapon. There are limitations to what you can do with it, but it's like the front of a Formula One car, right? That is the super secret magic that you do every year to try and make your vehicle go faster.
Well, and this is match racing, which means they all have the same boat, and they share the technical information across. So,
but they have interchangeable foils, though.
Well, that's part of, for every boat has that, so mm-hmm. that has to do with the speed of the wind, because the higher speed requires...
Is that something where you pull a crank, or do you got to dry dock it for a week to get the foil changed?
No, they can snap them in and out pretty fast, mm-hmm. and the whole method for how they bring the foils in and out is pretty amazing to watch in real time, because... you know, to drive those into the water when the boat's at speed, and to do the tacks on both foils. There's a lot of energy that gets depleted and a lot of grinding and a lot of hydraulic pressure. And I think it's one of those things is you look at these boats on the water and you're like, oh, that looks like fun. And you get on and it's like the building's coming down on you every turn.
Well, and this is something that the CLGP has done very generously, is they have a technology, a special technology session for media, and I was able to go to that last year in San Francisco when we first started out. So I got to be on the USA boat with Rome and the other sailors, and also to see up close those foils, and they demonstrated how they go in and out, and it's an impressive boat.
We're almost out of time. As I turn the camera, Karen is wearing her uniform with all her badges and medals and accoutrements. Just tell us a little bit about some of the positions you do hold here in this last minute.
Well, the operative word here is that there's silver stars here. That has to do with being passed out of office now. So these are roles.
Emeritus.
These are roles that I've held in the past. So I've been on the International Bridge of the International Yachting Fellowship of Rotarians, and that is a worldwide organization that's affiliated with Rotary. They're Rotary sailors and yachting. There's 109 fleets, and at the time when I was on the International Bridge, we were over those 109 fleets. And then I was I'm a past commodore of the San Francisco fleet, and then also I'm a delegate to the Pacific Interclub Yachting Association for Berkeley Yacht Club and for the IYFRs. That's a current thing. I just came from a Pacific Interclub Yachting Association delegate meeting last night, and thought I'd just throw on the coat because I'm meeting with the Peruvian Consul General this afternoon.
Wow.
We had the BAP union that was Captain
Volker.
So Volker.
For the people who are wondering, how does she know so much about sailing? We've just slapped those people, not that they exist. But,
well,
there's
the leadership track, and then there's the professional or weekend warrior track or cruising track. There's a lot of different aspects to the yachting community, but really it's to do with service that I've done in the community.
Karen Lyle, Christopher Kane, once again, thank you so much for everything, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Cliff.
All right, thanks, Cliff. Comrade Tittle, come on by.